Welcome to the Bicycle Media Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the health of the cycling industry.
Not a lot of people had that tone that just said, ride whatever bike you want to ride.
There's a couple of things about building a custom bike.
What these e-bikes can do.
It's quite hard for them to train when they don't know what they're training for.
I started to demystify things.
But if you don't have the right staff, that's game over.
You're not selling at that point, you're educating.
Big shout out to the folks at Roasty for keeping the podcast caffeinated. Again, for orders over $40, they're going to ship free in Canada. Deliveries within the Edmonton area are now happening weekdays, and the cafe's open for a little bit as well. So big thanks to guys at Roasty. Check them out, roasty.ca. Welcome back to another episode of the Bicycle Media Podcast. Man, it's great to be back. We're going to be talking to Tim Travis of Toolbox Wars, as well as his own Savart Cycles. Does a little bit of wrenching on the side, but is also training the police force in Korea. And what was so cool, and this interview is quite old by now, is that he's grown a bit of a social media following, uncovering something under a rock that everyone is obsessed about their tools, and that building your own custom toolbox is something that is just a fanatical, cultural, subcultural following within the cycling community. So I jumped on board, got deep into it, cut and foam until wee hours of the morning. But Tim also talks about his time working at bike shops, talks a little bit about what has gone into the page that he's created, or this sort of following of individuals. And again, it all stemmed from these professional mechanics that are, needing to have very light, yet very well dialed in toolboxes that need to service perhaps just one bike. You know, guys like Brad Copeland, Brad Kelly, and so on. So really cool conversation. I'll let him dive into it. But again, here's my conversation with Tim Travis of the Toolbox Wars. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the Toolbox Wars movement you started.
Yeah, a little about me first is I've been a cycling nut since I was a teenager. Started working in and out of shops when I was a kid throughout university, and then moving into Colorado after I started my professional career in law enforcement in the United States. And I've just always been around bikes. Like for me, My first car ever, I sold 3 days later to buy my beloved GT Pantera. And I just like, it shocked people. And I'm just like, it was always my dream to have like the uber nice custom bikes, hanging out with my friends, things like that. And I just really have always been around cycling. And that kind of follows me everywhere I go in life. Like in South Korea, started the only Western cycling club here at the time. It was me and another guy just bumped into on a ride, actually, just literally bumped into him. And then, we go fast forward from that in 2010 into 2017, we had 3,600 paid members in our club, and started Grand Fondos, 24-hour racing, supporting other rides we could. Korea itself, where I'm at now, has an amazing cycle touring network. We have a pass system that goes all the way from Seoul, South Korea, to the tip called Busan. And so you're pretty much starting as far north as you can go, almost, let's say, North Korea, all the way to the southern tip to the ocean. And I mean, it's just a paved pass system all the way down. And so there's a lot of cycle tourists that come through here, and there wasn't any sources for them. In English, everything was in Korean. And I just kind of took it upon myself and I just created it, and everybody just kind of gravitated to it. It's kind of goes back to that, you build it and they will come kind of thing. And I just like, and that's where Toolbox Wars came out of. As being a tool nut and a mechanic, and I did professional schooling, I'm just kind of like, working in and out of shops, and there's always tools, I always wanted the next best tool. And that kind of for me came from my senior year in high school. I worked with my dad, who was a retired Marine, and worked with him in an auto shop that he was working in at the time. And I was just washing cars, but I was always fascinated when the Snap-on truck would come, because there was nothing in the Snap-on truck I could afford at that time. And I was just like, oh, but I really want those green or red screwdrivers. I really want that. And I remember something that I have hidden in my toolbox is a Mac tool knife that has a turkey on it that my dad bought me for my birthday that year when I turned 18. And I was like, that's the only Mac tool I own. So I was like, but I'm proud of that tool. And, you know, it's not going anywhere. And but, you know, so I've always been fascinated by tools. You know, I'm not kind of a, you know, detailed nut about tools as much as someone like Troy Laffey from SRAM or Dave Rome from Cycling Tips. But, you know, I love tools and I realize so many other people do. And that's why brands are successful. He's selling all their tools because people really love them. They want the nicest tools. And I was, you know, always a follower of Abbey Bike Tools. And until the point of actually following Abbey and seeing just not on their feed, but in the, like the hashtags, it was seeing, you know, people posting, you know, Toolbox Wars stuff. And I really, at that point, I could actually count. There was only 80 posts. And I was like, but these 80 posts were amazing toolboxes. And I was like, wow, look at that carbon. Oh my God, that's insane. And from there, I was sitting out one night and had a beer and was like, fuck, why isn't there a world championships? Why can't we say who has the best toolbox in the world? Because we have a guy in Hong Kong whose box is freaking amazing. We got guys in the US, guys in Germany, guys in Australia. And I'm like, but who's the best? And so I just threw it up on my page at that time. And just happened so some people followed me, like Brad Copeland. And they're like, hey, this is a good idea. And then literally 24 hours later, Jason Quaid from Abbey Bike Tools dropped a message, hey, we could give a hammer to give away for that. And then a little bit after that, as it started picking up some traction, it was like, you know, do you mind if we run with that? We've, you know, we kind of created, you know, this hashtag. And at the same time, I had Colin Bailey reach out to me and go, that's my hashtag. I created that. And I was like, okay. So the history of it is, you know, like, in my opinion, Colin Bailey created a hashtag taking the piss out of people because they're putting all their tools in foam in a plastic box. And Jason Quaid and his crew, you know, people were putting in their tools, putting in Abbey bike tools. So it was working as a really, really good sense of marketing for them. And you know, and they were using it so well. So I was like, wow, yeah, I have no problem. Go ahead with it. You know, it's awesome. It's awesome. I felt just like, wow, Abbey Bike Tools wants to use my idea. I was like, shit, that's awesome. But in the same sense, after the contest was over, I was like, this just can't be it. There has to be more. It's like, so I started Toolbox Wars the page. And I was like, it's probably going to be me and about 10 other people, but hey, shit, that works. But now we're setting, as of today, 1,200 followers and or 12,000 followers, sorry. But I was like, wow, 12,000 people actually like this? That's impressive. And but, you know, it's grown from just posting toolboxes to, as mechanics always tell me, thank you. Thank you for giving us the respect we deserve. Thanks for putting the spotlight on us. And, you know, it's kind of funny because a lot of these guys are pro mechanics. And, you know, I even have their racers like dropping a note, hey, thanks for sharing his box. And I'm just like, wow, that's cool. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I take it back to the first Toolbox Wars Championship. And so what a very, very hidden secret I'll tell you here is BK walked away with it, hands down. BK has tons of fans and followers. And I think a lot of that goes from BK's personality. But then you had Colin Bailey, who had this amazing tool bag. You know, I call it a man bag. He made a purse. And he rushed it in as, you know, he cracked on Toolbox Wars for months and blah, blah, blah. Oh, Toolbox Wars, but then all of a sudden here comes this tool bag out of nowhere the day before the contest went down. And then there's Brad Copeland, who Brad Copeland is, he's a super laid back guy, and he ended up taking second that year. But the hidden secret nobody knows is Brad Copeland basically got second place because I posted on my cycling club of 3,600 members, go vote for this guy, because I wanted Brad Copeland to win. I like Copeland's box better than BK. So I was pushing for Copeland on the side. And I was like, so in reality, it should have basically, if I would have stayed out of it, and from that point on, I do, if I would have stayed out of it, it would have went first place to BK, second place to Colin Bailey. I'm not even sure Brad Copeland would have made the top three. But one of my biggest supporters for Toolbox Wars is Brad Copeland. Like, he is basically, like, the guy is amazing. I've told him this story before, so he knows that story. That's going to shock him. But when you get someone like him, who has like 42,000 Instagram followers because of his personality, and he's a good guy, you have him sharing and pushing, like, we, you know, like, hey, go buy my t-shirt character, you know, from these guys. We don't give Brad Copeland anything from selling those t-shirts or those stickers. And that actually just pays the artist back for his time, you know, because I can't afford to pay the artist for his time. So, I mean, we're making no money on this. And I'm just like, but you get guys like Brad Copeland supporting us, BK 100% supports us, John Hall. I mean, you're just like, you know, it's just really, really great. Then it's done what I wanted to do. Toolbox Wars has made a community for an average mechanic to be able to talk to a pro mechanic to maybe take it to the next step or the next level. And I know from the complaints I get, not everybody likes Toolbox Wars. They feel we only show off fancy tools, but that's not what it is. Like, Toolbox Wars is for people who love tools, no matter if it's the $2 tool made in Asia to the $300 Uber custom boutique tool made in the West. It's for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely a community, and a community that does not have the capability to be snobbish. And we talk about this with cycling retailers. The bike shop staff member does not have the luxury of being snobby. We need everybody to be a part of this sport. I'm a Canadian, and there's a lot of stats coming out about the decrease in hockey registration at the minor hockey level. And that's harmful for us. And, you know, for our listeners, you know, we're talking about guys like, you know, BK's, you know, Brad Kelly, you know, Brad Copeland, obviously, Scott SRAM mechanic. These are the elites in what they do. And you've made it so, you know, guys like me that are just learning how to fix a simple carbon, you know, fiber road bike with manual disc, I'm able to chat with them and pick their brain on stuff. That's incredible. And you could be a brand manufacturer, a bike shop, anybody, to go from zero to 12,000. Congrats, by the way, in such a short time. There are people that are drooling over that opportunity and would love that kind of result. You know, we talked a little bit about it off air about people want to go viral and are wish, you know, Coca-Cola wants to go viral. You did it, and you did it just kind of out of something that you loved, you know. Let me ask, you know, what do you think the lessons are for building a brand and having a community? What do you think others could learn from? Because you've done it so well. People are just, they're jamming out on what are you doing. What can you tell others on sort of building brand?
You know, I think for me, I never really realized or just slowly am realizing maybe it is a brand. And the biggest thing with it, though, is for me is, you know, everyone always says, oh, just keep it fun. I just kept it real. Like, I tried not to lock down on just one thing. Like, it's possible, it's very easy to sit there and, you know, say, okay, we only want this specific box. You must have, you know, carbon lids. You must have this, you must have that. And then you exclude everybody else. And for me, I'm like, I didn't want to exclude anybody. And I had, you know, a very, very good teacher in that would be Troy Laffey from, if I said his last name right, Troy Laffey from SRAM. He's like, you know, as I told you off air, he told me the boxes and the tools used in South America would blow my mind because it's none of the high quality we're using. But what these guys are able to do with their tools is impressive. And then on that note is these days I get tons of boxes from South America. And I'm like, people are like, it looks like they just went to a hardware store and threw stuff in there. But it doesn't matter. I 100% respect that. And I think that in itself is Toolbox Wars. That's awesome. It doesn't matter how expensive your tools are.
If we said the same thing, you know, you might not have the latest and greatest bike with the latest technology, regardless of the discipline. But, you know, the cycling industry needs to welcome everybody. And again, those listening, we're talking about toolboxes that stem from the traveling race mechanic that has to have that self-sufficiency, cater to the athletes, and just have everything that they can travel with. There's an art form to this. And what drew me to it, being a, you know, graphic design, video guy, music producer, is the creativity in the way they're cutting foam, the way they're laying out the tools, their tool choices, not really knowing necessarily how they were meant to work. Honest to goodness, I was fascinated with the art form of it, as if these could be showcased in a museum. But in your opinion, what makes a tool worthy of living in your own custom box? You know, you talk about tools that maybe look like they're from a cheap hardware store, and you've got some dynamite tools, PB Swiss and onwards, in your box. For you, what makes a tool worthy of the Tim Travis toolbox?
Oh, wow. I'll touch on something real fast where you were talking about the foam cutting. It's kind of funny because I get the inside track to most of the pros that you guys don't hear. They'll tell me their faults. And I've heard many of them go, yeah, that doesn't really work. Those magnets don't hold, or oh, don't look there. I got the foam glued together. I'm just like, I'm just like, really? Like, what? It's all, everyone's like, how can I make the perfect toolbox? And I'm like, do you got Photoshop? I noticed as this year progressed, it was all more about who had the better photographer. But for me, because I get to see the toolboxes in what I call naked form. You know, I get to see before their photographer gets their hands on it. And I just like, these guys have taken what you're saying. They've taken a perspective of a race box. And that's where Toolbox Wars started. And that's what people are forgetting. These guys made boxes for one bike. Their toolbox wasn't meant to service a fleet. Their toolbox was meant to service one bicycle. Or that racer's two bicycles. It was never meant to service like 50, 60 bikes. But now we're at a point in Toolbox Wars where you have the, you know, pretty much the kitchen sink of Toolbox Wars. You have guys bringing everything in the kitchen sink.
Yeah, in the rifle case, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, that's where, you know, that BK's rifle case got criticism because people are like, oh, I don't need all those tools to fix a bike. But the thing is, as I have to say, is, you know, but maybe BK does. You know, Brad Kelly probably only needs like, you know, a four-way, and that's fine. But he doesn't really need all those tools. But in the same sense, Brad Kelly, if you get to know him, he's the kind of guy, he's going to bring everything to have it ready at hand for his racer to make sure that that person is on the starting line. So Brad Kelly's not, every tool in that box is picked for a reason. It's not like he just loaded it in for photos. Well, why does he have like four sets of hex keys? Because, hey, hex keys aren't always perfect. Things aren't always going the right way. You could lose something. I mean, these guys, they're packing lists where everyone's like, oh, just tell me what they have in their box and they want to buy the tools they have. They got to understand they picked those tools for a reason. And that's more we're trying to get into as Toolbox Wars progresses, is why did they pick those tools? But wrapping from that to what makes, to your original question, what makes the tool that lives in my foam lake? Oh, wow. I guess I got caught up really for a while in the boutique-y tools. Like, I want the really high-end tools. And as I told you off air, when I was a kid, the local shop, Fred Roberto's bike repair when I was a kid in small town Pennsylvania. This guy was a hell of a mechanic, and you know, he's the only professionally trained mechanic I knew of. You know, he was a hell of a racer. His kids and I were like best friends, and I really wanted these high-end bikes, and he pretty much told me right in front of my mom as I'm getting ready to buy a Marin FSR that, why don't you save that money for college and later in life buy what you want to buy? So, and I was like, unfortunately, my mom listened to him. I never truly did, but my mom did. So I didn't get to spend that huge amount of money at that time for me on that. So in my phone these days, I go from that principle is I've had the crappy $2 Asian made tools. You know, I live in Asia. There's some great tools here, and there's some tools that aren't so great. I look for, I'll be honest, I look for the boutique-y tool. You know, the it's very, I wouldn't say expensive, but it's either very rare or it has the name of quality behind it. So I often find myself very drawn to PB Swiss. I really love PB Swiss. And a PB Swiss tools is, there's several mechanics out there who really love PB Swiss tools. And I really love PB Swiss tools. And from that note though, but right now, my favorite tool in my toolbox is the Vera Tools torque wrench that I got from Vera Tools for doing some stuff online for them. I honestly have moved away my other torque wrenches and I only use that torque wrench. And I'm just like, it's 2.5 newton meters to 25 newton meters. I love the feel of it. You know, nothing against PB Swiss. I'm actually waiting for a torque wrench from them and that I bought now over a year ago. It just has not showed up, and the COVID virus isn't helping shipping do anything well. So, but I would say for me, it takes quality to live in my toolbox. And right now, that's all I really have in my toolbox is quality. And other than the Mac knife that I got from my dad when I was 18 years old. And to most people, that Mac knife is quality, but it's probably, that Mac knife probably cost my dad like $19. And I mean, you know, but that's something I love and that I cherish. So, you know, it's quality. I feel for me, quality is in foam, but or in my toolbox. Colin Bailey would love that. I just said, yeah, he put his tools in foam. In my toolbox, I like quality tools because that's the place I'm at in life right now is I'm at a point where I can afford the quality tools, but I realize not everybody can. And I don't look down upon people who can't. The guy with the $150 tie hammer and the guy with the $12 Stanley steel hammer, in my opinion, as long as they're doing their job, they're doing their job. And I think it was John Hall made the quote comment this year, and we'll call it the John Hall quote, is my box isn't a show pony. My, you know, it's a workhorse. And, you know, and I'm just like, but John Hall's box is actually very pretty. So in my opinion, John Hall's box is pretty much a show pony, but John Hall, actually his tools in his box are workhorse kind of tools, you know, like from Pittsburgh screwdrivers, which I'm like, why the hell has he got Pittsburgh screwdrivers? Oh my God, I wouldn't buy those. And no, I've never used them, but I'm like, they're very cheap. And I'm just like, why doesn't John Hall have like the, you know, $50 set of screwdrivers? He has the $12 set of screwdrivers. But John Hall is also a super pro mechanic that knows what works for him. And he puts that quality level at, you know, in the tools. He puts the money in the tools that he needs the most. And then the other ones, they're working, they work, they do their job. So I respect that a lot. So
I think one of the big lessons here for the bike shop is you probably have somebody employed with legendary skill sets and an affinity for tools. Again, we're talking about Brad Kelly, among his many accolades. Guy works at a family-owned bike shop in Newcastle, Australia. And we're talking about a lot of other mechanics. One of my favorite, we talk beautiful boxes, is Ben Arnott, you know, YT Mob's head mechanic, his engineer, Cro-Mag, and owner of Albert Distribution. I mean, yeah. And these are incredible people that are you know, world, you know, finalists in this contest. They're incredible mechanics with incredible tools. I think the takeaway, if you are the mechanic listening, get your stuff in there, because you are, the bike mechanic knows that they're underrated. They absolutely do. Especially when somebody comes in 2 minutes before the shop closes and says, can you fix my bike? Or, you know, they're not on the podium on race day. But at the same time, a bike shop to survive, and if a bike shop closes in a community, the health of that cycling community, it takes a massive hit. That's like getting your thumb cut off, and you can't sell service online. You can't. And so we need to celebrate the black art of the mechanic. And I know a lot of shop owners that are starting to build their hospitality environment in their bike shop somewhat around the mechanic, you know, not to necessarily put them as the sandwich artist, the Subway sandwich artist of the bike shop that they've got. But what you've done is important for the health of the cycling community, because you've put the bike mechanic in a celebrity status in a way. And like you've said, you know, you've got bike mechanics, but then the riders of those mechanics messaging you saying, man, thanks for giving my guy some props. This guy works tireless and we love him. So this is huge what you're doing, right?
Yeah. I mean, where were you? You were saying just a little bit earlier about the, you know, the riders are on the podium. The mechanics aren't always on the podium. And, you know, you see some shots where, you know, they bring their mechanic up, they stand with them. And I think Kate Courtney and Aaron Gwynn are probably the best known for that. You know, like they really give props to their mechanics. And which that's why I feel the mechanics need their podium too. And yeah, you know, it's a toolbox contest. Some people are just like, oh, why do you need, you know, we have so many critics. Why do you need a toolbox that's so fancy? Well, it's not, it's their money. It's their time. And when you're a mechanic and you're a detailed person, you want things to look quality. And also as a customer, and like when I go into a bike shop and I'm going to buy tubes or look around, I always look at, like, you know, is the mechanic put together well? And, you know, like, is the shop area a mess or is it very detailed? And I'm just like, if I'm going to take my custom road bike into a shop that's falling apart, no, I wouldn't. No, hell no. I ain't going to fix it myself first. I have a full shop in my house, but I'm not going to. And that's what I always tell when people ask me, hey, you know, where can I take my shop in the local area? I know what shops to go to because those shops are put together extremely well and their mechanics are put together extremely well. And you know, it's the respect. And, you know, where you said where a customer comes running in at like 2 minutes left, I remember the biggest lesson I got when I was working at a shop in Pennsylvania, a guy came in, literally we were closing, and, you know, he's talking to the owner. He's like, well, I need this tomorrow for a race. And the owner's like, look, we're closing. I get it to you tomorrow. And he's like, no, I need it now. And at that time period, you know, the owner of the shop was like, yeah, I'll do this for you now. You're a valued customer. And I was like, when I talked to him about it later, I'm like, oh, said no matter what, we close, you know, they can wait tomorrow. And he's like, but I want this customer to come back. But I also am going to reiterate to this customer later that, hey, our closing time is this, deal with it later. And because it kind of, that was a life lesson for me, because I learned like the customer just wouldn't take no for an answer kind of thing. And I was just like, ah. You know, it's time to go home. You know, we weren't getting the money I was making was paying for my bike. That's all. But I think twisting around from the retail side to the pro side back to Toolbox Wars is, you know, support your mechanic, whether they're super amateur, you know, full-time shop mechanic mobile mechanic, pro mechanic, you know, like the most loved and very well-known mechanic in our inner circle of Toolbox Sports is Brad Copeland. And it's really shocking. It's like, Brad Copeland, we did a t-shirt sale, and I mean, 83 people bought the Brad Copeland t-shirt. Like, you know, I won't give anybody else's numbers, but Brad Copeland is also very open to the audience and the people. You never see him, you know, he's just very open. You know, you never see him close down or shut down people. And the same thing with BK. We sold tons of BK shirts. We sold tons of John Hall shirts, tons of Yeti Polar Bear shirts. You know, I'm just like, these guys, it's not me that changed things for other mechanics. I think these guys really did. They just needed a place or a voice where people could follow them and be in more contact with them. You know, like, it's like when you're a kid and you're doing a sport and your favorite athlete, you know, as I know you love hockey, your favorite hockey player would come up and give you, hey, good shot, give you a high five, right? You'd just be super stoked. That's how it is here when a lot of these, you know, home mechanics to shop mechanics to high school mechanics, you know, guys just learning, you know, like it's when a pro gives them a high five, it's taking it to the next level. And I mean, I do know it's a bit different in the mechanic world where I live now compared to the West. Like salaries here are extremely low. And I know salaries in the US are extremely low, but a little bit better than here. And I think that's something hopefully, you know, what we're doing is, you know, an area that people can take another level to respect their mechanic, you know, and realize these guys need to get a fair shake in the world. And, you know, a lot of the mechanics who follow our pages are, you know, raising a family and, you know, and that's their full-time job. They own the shop and, you know, this is their passion. And, you know, supporting your local retailers is super important. And luckily all the brands that support us, they sell to local retailers. So you can buy it through the shops. And that's super important. And that's how the bicycle world is going to continue to grow and be, as you were saying earlier, essential. And as you notice, with the COVID-19 stuff, a lot of local governors in the United States, you know, they're like, these shops stay open. You know, they're essential businesses. And I respect that. I think, yeah, that's, you know, I live in a world here where, you know, bicycles are used a little bit more for commuting and cargo. And, you know, it's it's people's vehicles. You know, some people here have never owned a vehicle. They only have their bicycles and they've got to have access to get in the shops to get repair because that bicycle is the one that's going to carry 600 packages today that they have to deliver, you know, to make their salary. So,
and that's exactly why your bike mechanic, first of all, your shop has to be, like you said, it's got to look good. The marketing, your shop's image has to look good, but your service shop has to be productive and profitable so that the shop stays in business and B, your mechanics show what they're worth and all the mechanics want to show their worth. And I think that's a super important thing. Tim, I think we could probably talk for hours. I'll let you get to your workout, sir, and we'll be chatting again soon. I know it.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having us on, and have a good night's rest.
Big thanks to Tim for his time. Really enjoyed talking to him. Pretty cool that he just kind of took a walk and was outdoors. You'd hear the birds in the background. Up next, we're going on a journey, and I mean that. We're talking to Lael Wilcox, ultra distance rider who's done some pretty cool stuff, set some major records, and competes all throughout the world in competitions where it's an even playing field between the male and female athletes. She's very humble. First found out about her through some documentaries. I'm fascinated with bike packing and ultra riding. Might not be in my cards for this life, but man, was it really special to speak with her. So that interview's coming up next. Thanks for tuning in. Big shout out to former podcast guest and listener Joel Sithorpe, who him and the crew down at Bow Cycle in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, are killing it, doing great work, putting in some time into the wee hours to build bikes, and just sending a big shout out to those guys and to Joel. So thanks for tuning in. Remember to subscribe, 5 stars, so that's a little higher in the rankings. Send me some emails at bicyclemediayeg@gmail.com if there's a guest that you want to have on the show, or if you're launching a new product, just want to chat. Love to hear from you. And again, stay safe. Talk soon.